Rainy, kind of a gross day. The Twins lost. Drive Time with DeRussia in effect. We're hoping for a Timberwolves win. Before we get to our conversation on that and the lead, I want to remind you that tomorrow is our Cure Blood Cancer radio auction benefiting NMDP. It's going to be a special day tomorrow. But mostly for you guys, I want you to plan ahead as to what you want to bid on. At 3 o'clock, it's a progressive dinner. At 3:30, it's a front yard landscape makeover. At 4 o'clock, it's an epic Taste of Minnesota VIP experience. There's a wine party in your home from Certix. Four Seasons Suites. At 5 o'clock in this experience, to be have your kids sitting at the dugout of the Minnesota Twins during batting practice at 5:30. So all of that is at my Instagram page. You can see what all of the stuff is. And then you just call in and bid on the air. It's going to be pretty fun. Now, if only we get a Timberwolves win tonight, maybe there could be a surprise last-minute donation of some Timberwolves tickets. But we need that win first, and that's where we start the D-Rush Hour News Headlines lead.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And our lead is do or die for the Minnesota Timberwolves. The loss to the Thunder in Game 4 was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking. Came down to the last couple of ticks off the clock. Chris Hine is the Timberwolves reporter covering the Timberwolves in Oklahoma City. Chris, how's it going?
I'm good, Jason. How you doing? Just about to head to the arena here.
I am doing well. What is your sense on the urgency that the team feels tonight?
I mean, it's about as urgent as it gets, right? You know, they had a team dinner last night to just get together and talk over some things. And, you know, I think one thing, if you notice, the last couple of years, the last 2 years, the Wolves have faced, the first game that they faced elimination in series 2 years ago against Denver, they were down 3-0. And then last year against Dallas, they were down 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Each of those times, they won the next game to prolong the series a little bit longer. I'm not saying that that's an indication of what's going to happen tonight, but with the odds are stacked against them, and you might just think they're going to roll over and maybe just call it a series. You know, they've come out with wins each of the last two seasons. So if you're trying to look at a glass half full angle for tonight, it would be that.
When you look at this, Chris, I've been struck by sort of the energy in the community. Timberwolves fans, I think, are all in on this. This is the Western Conference Finals. In a community where we have had zero success in men's professional sports teams getting this far in the playoffs, are you as surprised as I am? There feels to be like a little more resignation, a little less kind of excitement about the Timberwolves getting this far, and still, Game 4 was really close. Like, maybe the blowouts hurt things early on. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that Denver series last year was such an emotional roller coaster, and it was the first time that they had been that they had won a playoff series in 20 years. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think just there was a newness to it last year combined with that Denver series going seven games and then pulling off the big comeback in Denver in game seven. I just think there was a newness to it. The drama of the Denver series, that Golden State series is about as anticlimactic as it could get in the second round of the playoffs after Steph Curry got injured. So I just think the circumstances around it, the fact that it is the second time you've been here before, not as exciting perhaps for the casual fans or for the city as a whole, but you know, I think if you're following, you know, if you're a Timberwolves fan of any kind, this is as good as it gets, in your Timberwolves fandom.
Chris Hine is with us at the Star Tribune. I do think that Oklahoma City is so good. They are so good. And you look at this Timberwolves team, when you compare this year's team to last year's Timberwolves, do you think, is this a better team?
That's a very good question. I think it's a better offensive team, but as we've seen, I don't know that it's quite the defensive juggernaut that last year's was. So I guess to be put on the spot, I guess I would say probably a tick below last year's team, just because last year's team was able to also navigate the regular season in a better way than this year's team did. But I will say, once this team hit its footing, the versatility of the roster, the ability of, you know, kind of that top eight, kind of shuffling it out, who may be in the featured role alongside Ant and Julius on a given night. I'm not sure that last year's team necessarily had that, especially when it comes to the offensive end of the floor. And, you know, I do look behind some of these guys here and some of the young talent. You know, if we're talking about the roster as a whole, I think that, you know, they're set up well in the next 2 years with guys like Terrence Shannon Jr., Jalen Clark, and Rob Dillingham to take over some of these roles should some of these guys like Nickeil Alexander-Walker, for instance, leave in free agency. So I guess maybe top to bottom, I guess I would say but I guess, you know, it's just a different kind of team, but I don't think it's much worse if it is worse.
Chris Hine is with us. We'll be cheering for the Wolves tonight. Anthony Edwards, I think, has played very well. He's handled sort of what was presented to him, which has been just swarming defense by Oklahoma City. But we are going to need a few more points from Ant tonight, aren't we?
Yeah. It's been a rough 48 hours for Ant on the ESPN, TNT.
Wow, the idiotic sort of dialogue as to whether he should be the face of the league because he's not a good family man. Give me a break.
Oh, yeah, that was ridiculous. I will say, I think in the first half, yes, Ant needed to be more aggressive in scoring. The coaching staff maybe needed to call his number specifically a little more. But just try to get him going, manufacture some plays and touches to try to get him some open looks. I think that's maybe where my issue was with game four. But I had no problem with how he played the second half. I thought he made all the right plays. I thought he set up his teammates well. Everybody was getting open looks off of him, and that is what they have been preaching to him for 5 years.
Yeah.
And he's starting to play the game the right way, and he has throughout this postseason. So I don't have an issue with how he played the second half. I think, yeah, the first half, look for your shot a little bit more. But as far as how he finished the game, I didn't really have too much of an issue with it.
Yeah. Chris, thank you. Chris Hine for the Star Tribune joins us often to talk Timberwolves here on The Lead. Next up, another frequent visitor on our show, political analyst Chris Saliza, shared his story today of having his Tesla vandalized.
We parked my car, which is a Tesla, and we went and watched the game. And when he and I came back, there was something attached to it that was not there when we had left. It was this. Someone had taped a sign, "Musk is a Nazi," to my car. Now, they obviously had pre-written this, or they have a bunch of them, right? But "Musk is a Nazi," taped to my car. So this is the first time I've experienced the sort of politics of Elon Musk and Tesla, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it. My question, I guess, is, does everything have to be political? I didn't buy a Tesla to support anyone or not support anyone. I don't think Elon Musk is going broke because if I sell my Tesla, or Elon Musk is, you know, somehow validated in his political beliefs because 6 years ago I bought a Tesla. I don't think that me eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich is a political statement. It's a statement that I like Chick-fil-A, but it's not a political statement. Now, if they were taking the money directly and saying, okay, let's fund all these anti-gay initiatives. Yeah, I mean, I broadly believe in equal rights, and I don't want gay people or any other people to be persecuted for who they are and who they love. But we are getting to a point where everything is a political statement. And I guess my take is, I don't really think that needs to be the case.
Yeah. The politicization of everyday products is making us crazy. We've talked about this a lot. I agree with Chris Saliza. And it's all right if you want to disagree with Elon Musk. It's all right if you want to disagree with anyone. But mind your business. Like, mind your own business. Imagine the arrogance of sitting at, like, a soccer tournament and thinking, oh, I see this Tesla. I'm going to go put a note on it. Get a freaking life. What is wrong with people? So Lizzo was too nice about this. You guys are nuts. Get it together. All right, one more thing, and it is Frostapalooza. Enjoy your Minnesota Frost. All they do is win, win, and win. They just win and win. Twice, the Minnesota Frost have won the Walter Cup. If you listen to our podcast, go back to the first hour. We visit with Tracy Perlman from XL Energy Center, where the celebration will be happening there in just about 40 minutes. The parade starts in 10 minutes. It's pretty cool. This team has had drama. The league came in, fired the general manager, and they won again. I don't know, pretty impressive in a state where so many young girls are playing hockey to have a professional hockey league where women and young women can aspire to play. So I think it's pretty cool. That said, if you are a Frost fan, when someone has a conversation about how Minnesota sports sucks and we don't ever win, you can make a choice. You don't have to be, well, where is the Frost? You don't have to do it. You don't. You could just make a choice to be normal and understand what people are talking about and just enjoy the victory. Enjoy the victory. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. The lead, we're going to do page two. Why not? Why not do page two in just a minute, where we'll talk about a St. Paul institution closed for good. Robotics doing something very interesting in Brooklyn Park, and what you need to know about e-bikes when we come back. D-Rush Hour News headlines, page two, a St. Paul institution that will soon be closed for good. Fred Mello reporting in the Pioneer Press about the closing of the West 7th Pharmacy. This is a trend we've seen all over the country, all over Minnesota as well. The pharmacy has been on West 7th Street for 100 years or so. Jeff Johnson bought it in 1999. They were looking to retire this year. He's raised seven kids in the neighborhood, moved four times over 42 years, never more than a mile away from that century-old pharmacy. This year, they put the West 7th Pharmacy up for sale, but 44% of pharmacies in Minnesota have closed since 2013. Understandably, nobody wanted to buy it. Doors will close on June 30th. Sad. Related, I've always wondered why we need people to count those medications out and put them in the bottles?
And why does that pharmacist have to be 2.5 feet higher than everybody else? Who the hell is this guy? Clear out, everybody. I'm working with pills up here. I'm taking them from this big bottle, and then I'm going to put them in a little bottle.
Twin Cities Business Magazine with a story that I thought was fascinating, reporting on the new Walgreens automated prescription fulfillment center in Brooklyn Park. So it just opened this week. It's off of 169. You got your pneumatic tubes. You got your robotic arms. You got your conveyor belts ready to fill millions of prescriptions. And then they'll ship them to the store. The goal is to make it so pharmacists. This is what I've always wondered about. Pharmacists go to college for what? Like, it's a 5-year bet, right? Is it more than 5 years? I don't know. To become a pharmacist is like Madison, your school, Dan, is like a huge pharmacy school. But like, why do you go to pharmacy school to be like, all right, 30, 1, 2, 3. Like, that's what we're doing. So the pharmacists know about drug interactions and all of this stuff, and they should be freed up to have time to talk to you. And so that is the goal with these automated prescription fulfillment centers. This Twin Cities business story was really interesting. This plant is expected to process 12.7 million prescriptions per year. So they have, I don't know, 12 of these around the country. They got one in Illinois, one in Missouri, and then now in Brooklyn Park. Pretty cool stuff. What you need to know about e-bikes. Well, you better be careful about that. Star Tribune today reporting on a bunch of things you should consider before buying an e-bike in Minnesota. Pretty interesting stuff. I am someone who has always looked at the e-bike and think it's cheating. Because, you know, you ride a bike, you pedal. Like, what are we doing? But Luke Breen, the owner of Perennial Cycle in Minneapolis, said most customers are trying to increase their cycling and extend their range. They're not cheating. They're trying to replace a car. Which, actually, I was thinking about the other day when I went to the grocery store just to get, I needed carrots, celery, and cucumbers. That was it. I did not need to get my car and go to the store. I could have gotten on an e-bike and hop right over. That would be nice. More than 700,000 e-bike sales projected in the United States this year. So some of the things you should look at, how are you going to use it? A lot of them are equipped for commuting or riding the gym, you know, a little more casual. But if you're looking to park your car for a month in the summer, you might need a little different. So there are different classes. If you go faster than 28 miles an hour, that is technically a motorcycle. So you should know that. They're not cheap. The average sale at Perennial is about $2,000. Some models go for $6,000. But he's the owner said prices are changing daily because of tariffs and the economy and all of that. That is the D Rush Hour news headlines. I didn't give you guys much of a heads up, but it is Wednesday. It is enough day on our show. If you have something that you have had enough of, it could be funny. It could be serious. You can send us a message on the Odyssey app. There's a microphone button on the Listen Live page for WCCO Radio. Send me your voice message. We will play those when we come back. You can also call me. What have you had enough of? Call or text 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in just a minute. I have had enough of what? You can send us a voice message on the Odyssey app. Or you can call us or text us at 651-461-9226. Dan, so many things every week for us to say I've had enough of.
It's hard to know where to start.
I've had enough of the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
That's a good place to start.
I've had enough of the Spelling Bee. The Spelling Bee used to be something cute. It was for kids to do in school. And then if you were a certain level of nerd, then you could advance on to the next level of the next level. Now, it has become a televised, stress-filled, I think a largely negative thing for the people who take part, for the parents who turn their kids instead of being, I mean, I guess everything we do to our kids is sort of like what has happened to the spelling bee.
To a degree, sure.
Kids have to be the champion of the intramural soccer league, and you got to be the first chair violinist, and you can't just be a kid. The fact that we as a country have turned the spelling bee into, like,
ESPN programming. Let's just call it. That's what's going on.
Enough. It's time to cancel it, to let it go back to obscurity where it belongs.
Yes.
In this sort of ridiculous, well-intended way to elevate.
Well, we do cover things besides the high school football team.
We've just turned a weird, relatively useless skill in today's world into sports programming entertainment. It's ridiculous. Enough.
Enough.
So that's where I started, 651-461-9226, or the Odyssey app.
I have had enough of people valuing the lives of animals over the lives of human beings. And here's what I mean. I was driving out to your end of the world, out to Maple Grove,
yep,
on Memorial Day to go hang out with the family for Memorial Day. And in the middle of 94, right before it splits, people are stopped, dead stopped. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on as I'm quickly trying to slow down and pull over to the side and get out of the way because I don't want to get plowed into from behind.
Right.
And there was a family of ducks that had just crossed the road. And look, I don't want the ducks to get wiped out.
No. Nope.
But you can't stop in the middle of the freeway, folks.
No.
You can't do it. If it means you hit the ducks, I'm sorry for the ducks, but God will make more ducks. You can't stop in the middle of it. We have to start using our brains when we're driving. I've had enough of this kind of nonsense.
Very controversial. Very controversial. 651-461-9226 is our number. You also, if you don't want to wait on hold, you can send us a message using the Odyssey app. Nikki on X says, come on, let the ducks cross, you curmudgeon.
And thank God there wasn't like the 20-car pileup, but if that happens because over ducks, I mean, have we lost our minds?
Are you supposed
if
to
it's a city street, it's
ducks,
a different,
though?
Yes, you are. I'm sorry, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Where was this again?
In the middle of 94, right before the split, going to Maple Grove. In the middle of the interstate. If it's a city street, that's a different deal. But this is in the middle of a freeway. You can't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with you. I'd like to pretend I care about the ducks.
I'm trying so hard. Because you want to push back.
I want to push back.
But it's the ducks. I'm sorry. If the ducks have to go, the ducks have to go.
On the highway, you just have to keep going.
You can't stop.
I've stopped for turtles before. Like, you get the big turtle crossing. I stopped for like a snapper turtle. Is that a
sure
thing?
Sure. On a city street. Yeah. Not in the middle of the freeway.
No.
Okay.
Not on the freeway. On the freeway, I'm too busy texting. I don't have time to be seeing animals on the road.
That's my other one, but we'll get to that later.
651-461-9226. Let's go to Jeff in Sauk Rapids. Jeff, what have you had enough of?
Jason, I've had enough of kiddos.
Just kids in general? Oh, the term
kiddos.
The term kiddos.
That,
I see.
Yes, that is so outdated. That is so June Cleaver. Yeah. And when I hear middle-aged people refer to teenagers as kiddos, hey, I mean, it's got to be demeaning for any child over the age of 10.
It's pretty bad, kiddos.
It is. Yeah. It is. And there's a rule for its use. Unless your wife is wearing saddle shoes, bobby socks, and a poodle skirt,
yeah,
and your car license plate says 23 Skidoo, you don't have kiddos.
Yeah. I think Jeff's onto something.
That's fair.
Jeff, no one here disagrees with you. We're going to let that pass through. We're going to let it go. Thank you, Jeff. 651-461-9226. Lots of text coming in. And we also have a voice message that came in through the Odyssey app. You're listening on the Odyssey app. You can send your thoughts to the show at any time, hitting the talk back microphone. Comes right to us in the studio. And so here is Andy.
This is Andy Brim from St. Paul, and I have had enough of the horrible summer traffic that's on 394 and 94. It is making getting between our cities horrible.
Mm.
And I have a hard time believing that MnDOT couldn't do a better job of organizing our road construction projects so commuters don't have to go through hell just trying to get to work or get home. So I have had enough of Minnesota construction season.
Andy Brim.
Better buckle up.
Yeah. He's had enough. This is Andy's issue. And Andy will confess that he lives in St. Paul and commutes to go work in the western suburbs. And I do think if that is your commute, you have a lot of time to reevaluate your life choices, you know? And where do you think, if you're Andy, who's blaming MnDOT, but maybe should look inward?
Ooh.
Andy, do you regret living in St. Paul? I mean, you made your choice. I'm just I'm just asking questions, Dan. That's all.
Sure, you're not in any way, shape, or form trying to stir it up.
Did he have to work in the Western? I mean, I could have turned this into West Metro hate.
You could have.
But the St. Paul shot was right there.
But you like the St. Paul right shot. There. Yeah.
I had to pick. 651-461-9226. A broad stereotype, I know, but is being a road rager a prerequisite for owning a lifted pickup?
Seems that way.
I've had enough. Almost without fail, they roll up on you and tailgate until they intimidate you to speed up or get out of the way. How do you play it when someone speeds up on your tailgate? Presumably you're in the left lane.
Yeah.
And presumably you're already going 5 over the speed limit, at least. I like to slow down a little bit.
That'll show them.
And if I can, I like to get even with another car. So now we're sort of boxed in. Like I want to pace with a car in the right lane. And that's what I like to do. So we all have our ways. That's what I like to do.
If it's safe to move over, I move over and silently judge the person as they drive by.
What if it's not safe?
Well, then I'm not going to make an unsafe move.
But
to
there
get out
are times that
way.
I've like felt like I have to speed up and get around somebody because, you know, Larry Pickup is on my patoot.
At the earliest opportunity that it is safe to move over, I move over. And you know why? Because we have carry permits in this state, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it to make a point if that person's going to suddenly flash a weapon at me. And you don't know. You have no idea whether a person's carrying or not. So as frustrated as I may be, I'm getting out of the way.
I don't like this comment
I know,
from you.
I know
I don't,
you don't.
I don't
I know
appreciate
you don't.
It. I just don't care for it. Pass.
You've had enough of it?
Texter, yes, you can stop for the ducks, and you should stop for the ducks.
Not in the freeway.
You should not stop.
Nope, not in the freeway. Sorry. You're just wrong. You're just absolutely wrong.
If you're on the freeway, I know it hurts, but you have to run over the duck. Also enough. I have had enough of bunnies. This is a recurring issue with me.
Yes, it is.
But in my neighborhood, the bunnies are absolutely filled with love and passion because the amount of little bunnies running around our neighborhood is out of control. And this is not a euphemism for anything. This is not a metaphor. By bunnies, I mean rabbits. I mean the freaking rabbits that are looking at every new plant that I got this weekend at Bachman's and put in my backyard and is thinking, that looks delicious.
You've put up a bunny buffet.
I freaking hate the bunnies. And when I get home at night, they all come out.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, what's going on? Whoo, whoo, these bunnies running over. And do I stop? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to freaking run over a bunny.
No.
Now, would I like to run over the bunny?
It seems like you would, yes.
Yeah, I would like to run over the bunny. But I don't need bunny juice all over my car.
Okay.
So I don't. Lots more textures coming in. Lots of good stuff. We'll get to your... See? Find out what made me laugh. I'll tell you in just a minute here on Drive Time. Textures, enough! Of the indignant no reply to an email if your coworker doesn't get the answer they feel entitled to. You can almost hear them huffing in disgust. Little brats, enough of them.
I feel like there's backstory.
Feels specific.
Fascinating.
Feels very specific. Yes. I've had enough of needing apps to save money. Oh, Crystal from Fridley, that is a good one. So many apps for everything.
There are a lot of apps.
Another texter says, you can take care of the bunny problem with my enough. All my neighbors who let the cats roam the neighborhood
at
all hours.
That.
The only good thing is the decrease in bunnies. Do people really let their cats roam through the neighborhood? Like, I live in a suburban neighborhood, plenty of cats in the neighborhood.
But they're not roaming?
No, I've never seen a cat walking around the
street. I haven't either, I guess.
I've had enough of people bringing their dogs to the store, especially the grocery store. Ooh, okay. So when this last weekend, Liz and I were out shopping for plants. We were planting our garden. We were replenishing some of the, like, hostas and some of the annuals, or the perennials. The ones that come up every year. The perennials, those ones. The annuals you get to plant every year. I'm looking at Cook like he knows.
Yeah.
It's like, I have no idea what the hell you're
talking. Ask me when the last time I planted something was. Actually, don't.
So people were all bringing their pets to Bachman's. And, like, I think Bachman's is like, we don't, like, if you're spending money, you bring whatever you want to bring. They don't care. But I thought it was kind of weird. Like, you're trying to walk
this
through
is,
the
This
aisles.
Is back to your just obsession with, like, people bringing pets to coffee shops.
I mean,
and
I wouldn't say obsession.
Yeah. No, you don't like it. You don't like it.
No, I do not like
Going back to the apps and saving money one.
Yeah.
I've had enough of companies asking me to do surveys and not offering me anything in terms of compensation for my time.
Oh,
what happened to that? It used to be like, here's a 10% off coupon or something.
And they'll send you like 1,000 emails.
No.
Like, you're letting them down if you don't fill out the damn survey. Well, it's your last chance to fill out. I don't want to do it.
I've had enough.
Very good text. Great participation. We appreciate it. Thank you all so much for listening. You can subscribe to our YouTube. And you can see how exasperated we are by watching this thing. WCCO Radio. Henry's next.